Good morning, the Liberty Baptist Church. We're so glad for this audience here this morning. And Panetta inviting myself, Pastor, to come and be with you and my wife. And we're so glad to be here today. And just count it a privilege to be here with you, dear folk, this morning. And I once again want to say thank you to the pastor for inviting myself. And the music was good today. I enjoyed the hymns immensely. You been behaving yourself? Come on. We're in church. You heard about the fella at the airport that was checking in his bags, and the guy in front of him was so nasty. They said it was just unbelievable. After the fella, that nasty fella, got through checking his bags in, the fella stepped up and asked the clerk, said, "How can you put up with that?" He said, "How can you not say something?" He smiled and said, "Oh, that's easy. He's going to New York and I'm sending his bags to Hawaii." Oh, my. Today, we'll be looking at Mark chapter 6. In the book of Mark chapter 6. Here in Mark chapter 6, we see the Lord Jesus Christ is in his own country. He's in the city of Nazareth. He goes to the synagogue and reads out of the book of Isaiah. The people marvel at Christ's wisdom, his gracious words, and wonder what the secret of his power is. But they're offended. Here in Mark chapter 6, verse 1 through 3, please. Mark 6 and verse 1. "And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, 'From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simeon? And are not his sisters here with us?' And they were offended at him." The title of the message today in verse 3 is "Not This the Carpenter." Father in heaven, we commit unto you next few minutes we have, looking at your word, and ask once again the Holy Spirit will take your word and use it in the hearts of everyone under the sound of my voice. And dear Heavenly Father, I pray and ask for the Holy Spirit's anointing upon myself. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. The carpenter. A carpenter is someone who is an artificer, or just a common word that we are familiar with. He's skillful in being able to make things, and or a craftsman. And the people came and said, "Is not this the carpenter?" I want us to consider this carpenter. He built the world. John chapter 1 over here. And I'll begin reading and just keep moving on. John 1 and verse 14, speaking of the Lord Jesus, it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory as the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And then in John 1 and verse 1, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made." The psalmist puts it this way over there in the book of Psalms, chapter 33, and down there in verse 6, 7, 8, and 9, Psalm 33 and verse 6, "By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the hosts of them, by the breath of his mouth. He gathereth the waters of the sea together as an heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. For he spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood still. The book of Colossians over there in chapter 1, verse 16 tells us, for by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether there be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. Book of Revelation, that fourth chapter, and down there in that 11th verse, we read this. Revelation chapter 4 and verse 11. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. The carpenter, he built this world. This carpenter, he's building the celestial city. John 14, of course, we remember that over there in John chapter 14, and how the Lord tells us so plainly, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. John 14 and verse 4. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? And he goes on and says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. He's building a celestial city. Oh, listen, dear friends, the book of Hebrews, and we see what Abraham said in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, and down there in verse 10. Abraham, for he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Abraham, if you were to turn a few pages, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 14, speaking for those who know Christ as Savior, Hebrews 13 and verse 14, for here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. Yes, this celestial city, the book of Revelation gives us a little more insight into it in chapter 21, Revelation chapter 21. And if we were to go down in verse 10 and 11, Revelation 21, that 10th verse, and he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and he showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. Now for time's sake, drop down to verse 18 of Revelation 21. And the building of the wall of it was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third a chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth a sardonyx, the sixth sardis, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth topaz, and the tenth a chrysoprasus, the 11th a jacinth, and the 12th an amethyst. And the 12 gates were 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. Let me ask you, and look at verse 27 while you're there in Revelation 21. And there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Are you saved? Is your name written in that Lamb's book of life? You see in Revelation 20 and verse 14 and 15, and death and hell, yes, were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Revelation 20 verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. My, is your name written in that Lamb's book of life? The 21st chapter, once again, in verse 4, it says, "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Yes, He shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That carpenter, he built the world. He's building a celestial city. He's building his church. He's building Liberty Baptist Church. Matthew 16, of course, we remember over there, and down in verse 18, and it bears looking at. Matthew 16 and verse 18. And the Lord himself says this, Matthew 16 and verse 18, "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter." That's Peter, if you were to define his name, it just means a little pebble. And thou art Peter. And then he says, "And upon this rock," a huge massive stone, reference to Christ himself, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." The Lord is building his church. Acts 2:47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved." He's adding to his church daily. Every day he's building his church. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 9 tells us so plainly, "Ye are God's building." Talking about Christians, people that know the Lord. He's building his church. Colossians 1 and verse 18 over there says, "He is the head of the body, the church." Christ, he's in charge. And he's building his church. And by the way, look at 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20 with me. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 20. But in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 20, "But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor." This great house is the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in every church, there's some Christians that will shine and be an honor unto our Lord, and some unto dishonor. They just don't work at it. They don't live for the Lord. But oh, listen, dear friend, regardless, nevertheless, our Lord is building his church. He built the world. He spoke, and the world came into existence. He's building that celestial city, that heavenly city. He's building his church. And he's building lives today. Building lives today. Philippians 1 and verse 6. And I want to encourage you to turn to scriptures. You may have some memorized, but it's always good to see them and help remind us. Philippians 1 and verse 6. "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." If you've ever been saved, God's going to work in your life, keep working, until the day of Jesus Christ. What day is that? Well, the day that he either takes you home by death or by the rapture of the church. But he's going to keep working in your life and mine until that day. And so once we're saved, you can be confident of that. And you get people saved, new converts, you pray for them, that they'll grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord. But regardless of whether you and I do our job and responsibility of caring for new converts, the Lord is still going to work in their lives until he takes them home to heaven. 1 Peter chapter 2 over here, and down in verse 3, I believe it is. 1 Peter chapter 2 and down in verse 3. Yes. 1 Peter 2 and verse 3. If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. He's gracious. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God, and precious. And then it says in verse, there, that verse 5, ye also as lively stones, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Yes, he's building lives, working in your life and mine. I don't know where you stand today, but I do know this, that you got a great shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. He's your friend. Sticks closer than a brother. Yes, willing to die for you. He's working in your life and mine today. He's working in Liberty Baptist Church today. The book of Ephesians chapter 2, and you're familiar with that portion of scripture, Ephesians 2 and down there in verse 8 and 9, for by grace, you know, are you saved? For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But then it goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're his workmanship. Oh my. Jesus Christ is the carpenter of your life and mine. That carpenter of our life. Let me ask a question. What do we evidence of the craftsmanship of Jesus Christ in our lives? What do we evidence of the craftsmanship of Jesus Christ in our lives? Once again, Peter told us in chapter 3 and down there in verse 18. Peter 3 and down in verse 18. Grow, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Make your life count. Life is not measured by longevity, but by quality. John the Baptist died in his 30s. And our Lord himself said in Matthew 11 and verse 11, there's not risen a greater than John. Greater in what respects? Probably because he was the forerunner of Christ and saying, here is the Messiah. Here's the Savior of the world. The Lord Jesus Christ himself died at 33 years of age approximately. So life is not measured by longevity, but by quality. And so make your life count. Hebrews 11, 25. And we read of Moses, you remember over there. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 25. Concerning Moses. Well, verse 24 of Hebrews 11 says, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You have a choice and myself to make. It's not easy. Cry unto God and ask him to keep you in the center of his will, no matter what the cost or price. Outside of it, you and I got an arch enemy, remember, that's going to take you on. And you're no match for Satan. Nobody is. Moses would not even criticize Satan in the sense of fuss with him, as great as he was. And dear friend, this arch enemy of ours, we need to just ask the Lord to keep us in the center of His will, no matter what the cost or price. How do we stay in God's will? Well, it's good to stay familiar with the Bible. Amen? Stay in church. That means Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night. You got a service tonight. Come and be here. And encourage your pastor. Invite someone. Years ago, we had neighbors across the street from us, and they were probably just had a few years on them and tired, but they spent their time in their yard screaming at each other. Just screaming back and forth, arguing, fighting, fussing. One Sunday afternoon, I went over and knocked on the door and said, the man came to the door, and I said, would you like to go to church with Jackson and me tonight? He turned around and hollered at his wife and said, Martha, Pastor Blake asked us to go to church with him. And she hollered back and said, we'll go. They came, or a little later he phoned me and said, listen, we had an appointment we forgot about and we can't come, but we'll be there next Sunday morning. Next Sunday morning, they sat two or three rows back. And after the preaching and the invitation, they came forward and trusted Christ as their Savior. She got baptized. He was a little hesitant and didn't. One morning, early in the morning, he came over and almost kicked my door down. And he showed me a little apron of some sort from the Masonic Lodge. And he said, I promised that I'd never soil this apron. Whatever that meant to him. Probably getting out of the lodge, see, and he was convicted of it. And he said, you've got to talk to my wife. She's plumb crazy reading the Bible and praying. They moved shortly after that down into Missouri. They got a letter from them, and they were in a good church down there serving Christ. Bring someone with you. Invite them. Never know what God will do. But oh, listen, Genesis 6 and verse 3, there was a time when our Lord Himself said, my spirit shall not always strive with man. There's coming a time when God's spirit will not always work and work and work with some people, evidently. And He's the one that calls those shots. You and I don't have to worry about it. But listen, live for the Lord. Sunday school, Sunday morning, I mentioned Sunday night, and midweek service. And if you can, try and go out soul winning. Now, you say, I'm not that kind of a person. I'm not outgoing. I don't know how. I'm timid. I'm all right. Come and go with someone. Or just come and give them a gospel track. Or leave it on their door and run like thunder to get back to the street, okay? But care about precious souls. He's building His church, but He's building lives. He wants to do something in your life and mine. I don't know where you stand today. There was that account in Luke chapter 15 of a lost sheep. That lost sheep didn't know how to get back in the fold. There are some Christians out there that don't know how to get back in church and in fellowship. They just are so out of it. They're far away from it. Then there was a lost coin. By the way, it didn't even know it was lost. It was very evident. It didn't know it was lost. And there's folk out there that don't know that they're lost. And then there was that prodigal son. And he said, I'm going to rise up and go back to my father. He was just backslidden. Yes, backslidden. And there's those that need to get back in church, serving Christ and living for the Lord. Oh, my dear friend, there's so much could be said this morning. And is your heart content on the world's highway? Are you satisfied with your life, my brother? Would you change your course if you could? Or is it too much trouble to change, my brother? Too much trouble. Today, the carpenter My, he did build this world. Tremendous. And all that's in it. Yes, he's building that celestial city, that heavenly city. He's building his church. And he's building the lives of those who know him as Lord and Savior. Let's stand together.